Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You know the difference between hockey and those other sports? You gotta be tough to be a hockey player.
I idolized Dominic Hasek. I played goalie because of Dominic Hasek. My life in hockey has been started because of Sabres hockey. I didn't need playoffs this year. I wanted it, but I didn't need it. But when you screw up for the fans as much as the team has over the last, 5 years, and just don't hold yourself accountable, I'm sorry, I'll hang up and listen. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Two Goalies, One Mike, an in-depth look and behind-the-mask conversation about the greatest game on earth, where everything goes and nothing's off limits.
Now I'll tell you something about this guy.
This is only 3 minutes, eh?
Whammo!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 74 of Two Goalies, One Mike. Proud to be presented by Outlet Liquor. What's your outlet? I'm Johnny Cullen, back from a lengthy delay. Joined alongside Dwayne Snell, as always, and producer Steve. How we doing, fellas?
Doing good. Dwayne, I think you're muted.
I am muted. The word is lengthy, not lengthily. Okay. Lengthy. I was actually yelling it as we were sitting here muted.
Feels good to be back. We are here live right before game five of the Sabres season. That sees us sitting boys where I don't think record-wise we thought we'd be 3-1 coming off a loss to the Bruins. Where looking back at the game, guys, I obviously not thrilled with the result, but outside of that early mistake from Dahlin, which Dwayne, me and you were talking about, you never want to go down early, especially against a veteran team like that. And if you guys don't mind, I'd like to break that down really quickly to start off. We get ourselves in trouble. Dahlin goes to Butcher. Butcher goes right back to Dahlin. As a lefty right there, and the one camera angle, you can see we have a winger high up on the half wall. And Bob Bugner said it best, when in doubt, glassing out. You just throw that puck up your forehand, take the simple play. You know, you heard Razor talk about on the broadcast that, Marchand didn't, pressure the first time, pressure the second time. But, you can't put yourself in that spot, especially if you're the franchise top pair defenseman, right? That's an avoidable play. You put yourself in a hole early against a great team, guys. And I think when you see, and going back to the three wins we've had, we've had early success and had a nice bounce back shift after that, but couldn't find a way to get one home until 5 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, I think so. Wrong. It was that one power play goal.
I mean, go ahead.
No, one of the things that stuck out to me the most in this game was you didn't look out of place, right, Cole? We didn't look out of place. I mean, I think the biggest difference between both teams, and I don't think I'm being rude by saying this, is, one team had elite-level talent and the other team didn't. I think that's what the difference is. There wasn't for a lack of trying. It wasn't for a lack of being prepared, because every single game so far this team has come out like they're shot out of a cannon, ready to play. Granato has them prepared, which is something that we're not used to seeing over the last couple of years. And, effort had nothing to do with this. Systems had nothing to do with this. At the end of the day, you have elite talent on one side making great plays for their team. And we just lack that right now.
And you've seen, well said, and you've seen it. In this team, the way we're going to win hockey games isn't with that elite level talent. It is with a full 60-minute effort. Pardon the cliches, but that's what this team is. Until we get things sorted out with Eichel, or we, you know, see our young guns and Cousins and you know, a guy like Skinner getting back to where he was, or Mittelstadt take that next step, is going to be winning games the old-fashioned way, for lack of a better term. And, you know, we were just talking about it off air, Steve. Love to see what's going on in the pipeline. You know, you have Paterka that had a great showing today. Him and Quinn had a couple. And then who was the other one that got the goal there, Steve?
We had a goal from the king of flow himself, Mr. Linus Weisbach.
I love that.
Mr. Weisbach ripped the fifth goal for the Amerks this afternoon, which as of this second is actually six goals in favor of our boys in Rochester. So that's a 6-3 win, 6-3 lead over the Marlies with about 7 minutes left to play. Oh, my goodness. Almost seven goals just right there. Holy moly. Jeez Louise. I love it.
Hey, and I liked Paterka's camp. I liked him in World Juniors 2 years ago. I like to see the development out of Quinn. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what Granato and Adam's plan is for them. But moving on to tonight, guys. Dwayne, your thoughts heading in tonight. One quick note, we do have an NHL debut. And we'd be remiss as a goal, two goalies, one mic, in the name of our title of our show. We didn't talk about Nico Daws getting the start tonight, his first NHL game. You know, you got to think about what's going through his head. He did play in the Ontario Hockey League, as Dwayne knows that I'm an alumni of.
You played in the O, dude? I didn't know.
He's dual citizen, Canadian and German, decided to play for Canada at the World Juniors. Wasn't their starter, but, you know, anyways, getting to represent your country at the U-20 tournament, always a big deal. One goalie of the year, I think, that year in the OHL, maybe the whole CHL. He's a guy with a lot of talent. It brings up an interesting storyline with the Devils goaltending. You see they have Wedgwood backing him up tonight. But what is it? Mackenzie Blackwood not able to travel to some games due to him, his refusal to take the shot and get the vaccine. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens to them down the line. Another interesting note, no Jack Hughes. Dwayne, what does that do to that team? Because he was so fun to watch last year, Hughes was. And being an American hockey fan, hate to see him on the sideline. Tonight, like to see him not on the ice, but it's tough to have a player of his caliber not in the lineup.
No, it is, man. But, you know, as a Sabre, as a hockey fan, you want to see Jack Hughes play because you want to play against the best, right? But as a Sabres fan, I mean, hey, this team, as we mentioned earlier, there is a big lack of talent when you go head-to-head with a lot of other teams. Even the teams that are expected to finish in the bottom league with us, guys, teams like Vancouver and Arizona, they still have – in some shape or form, higher level talent. And we have a lot of guys on, you know, either entry level deals making 1 year, $750,000.
750, baby.
Yeah, the 750 club, right? It's, you know, so, you know, I'll take games like this where I can get them against a rookie goaltender, against a Jack Hughesless New Jersey Devils team. Let's go, fire me up. You know, let's try and go 4-1 here, right? Like, I'll take these wins when we can get them because honestly, I don't think I'm being out of line here saying that what they've done so far, I don't think it's very sustainable. Eventually, like Craig Anderson's 40 years old, as good as he's played for us, he's going to run into a wall here and there. You know what I mean? Like, and then your backup option is Dustin Tokarski. Yeah. Nothing against him. He's like an ECHL, AHL level.
You're going to need wins out of Tokarski if this is going to be sustainable, right?
Yeah. Would you agree that out of any backup goalie in the NHL, if they start 10 games, you'd like 6 wins?
Yeah, I think 60% is a good number.
100%.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah, no. I've loved what I've seen on Anderson so far. You know, a guy that went into Washington last year in more of a mentorship role, that's not easy. He came out and he said it. He wants to prove not only to himself but to everybody. But you always, as a goalie, you guys know, you want to prove it to yourself that you can still be the guy. And I think that, you know, he had that opportunity here. And you know, we saw that in a couple games early on. You got to make this, here's the way I put it. And this is why I haven't been on the show. I've been doing, you know, running my own goalie business. You got to make the saves you're expected to make. You got to make one or two that maybe you weren't, right?
Bail
and
your
at
team
the end
out.
Of the day, I hate to use cliches, but you just got to give your team a chance to win. Yesterday, you know, going down early, we didn't see that. And I don't think this is a team, Dwayne, like you referred to, and Steve, you as well, that with that lack of elite-level talent, we don't have a David Pastrnak, right? I don't think we have a Jack Hughes right now in our lineup.
Not at the moment.
I think we have some budding players like Dylan Cousins. But going back to the 750 thing, Dwayne, the one thing I like about what Kevin Adams did, and I haven't had a chance to speak with you guys about this, is our team speed has went from mediocre to, I'd like to say, top third of the league. And you can see that in the neutral zone play. Dwayne, you talked about that early. Is that a coaching thing in your mind with Granato, or is that just a roster that just everybody can move?
I think
Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think the moves were made specifically in mind that they want to compete with some of the. They know that they may not be able to out-talent some of these teams, so as long as they can keep up with the pace of these elite talent team play games, you know, they're still physically in it, and then they can also, on the scoreboard as well, be in it. But also, it does seem to be a Don Granato thing, because one of the most noticeable things that we've all kind of collectively in Sabres Twitter land noticed is that Kyle Okposo is, you know, no longer 2 to 3 strides behind every single play in the game. He is in it. He is right there where he needs to be. He looks like he's slimmed down. He looks like a healthy Kyle Okposo, which we haven't seen since we picked him up. So I really do think that something Donnie's doing in that locker room is, you know, being communicated to the boys that it's like, this is a fast game and everybody's got to be ready to get in it. And if you're not, there are plenty of people over in Rochester that'd be willing to take your spot.
Well said, Steve. And me and Dwayne went at it about this, about who had the keys of the locker room, per se, last year, early in the year. And with Eichel being gone and Sam being gone, which breaks my heart because I love Sam. But I really think Donnie has handed this group over to say, hey, to a guy like Kyle Okposo, who, let me just say this. We go back 3 weeks ago. Who thinks that Gergensen's Okposo and Bjork is going to be our most consistent line? Right? We get laughed at. But they have done that with, like, consistent team speed, being heavy on the forecheck, and like you alluded to off-air, Dwayne, just more free-flowing play through the neutral zone. I don't know. Is that how you would put it?
I would say, like, we talked about this before we went on air, is that it's in the neutral zone, and to me is one of the biggest differences outside of, you know, being prepared and effort, you know, yada, yada, yada. Before last year, we were getting beat a lot, like really cleanly in the neutral zone on their zone entries. We weren't putting up much of a fight. We were on our heels a lot. This year, it's a completely night and day difference. Buffalo is really clogging up that neutral zone, not allowing clean zone entries. And then another thing too, with our zone entries, you know, it's night and day again. You know, you're out into the zone. You're getting that first pass into the neutral zone. It's kind of it's more often than not this undisrupted, and you're able to set play whether you're dumping it in or you're stopping at the blue line and setting things up and setting the tone for that particular puck possession. And it's just that's one thing that stood out to me the most, is just like this team is just like, they're, you know, we get punched in the mouth and we're not turtling. We're getting back up. We're punching back.
Go back to last night. After we give up that goal, one of our best, I think, sequences was those next two shifts, right? Going back to Dwayne, what you said, you get punched in the mouth, you punch right back. I think the game would have been tied up right there. I think Hinostroza got a little too cute on one of those plays. Skinner missing it on another. You guys remember what I'm talking about? I think right around the 14-minute mark of last night. But Dwayne, I think that goes back to Donnie and what culture he's trying to create with Kevin Adams. That hey, listen, we know who we are. We're not the Boston Bruins. We're not the Colorado Avalanche. We're not the Florida Panthers, Tampa Bay Lightning, this other league, right? Sure. If we're gonna win, it's gonna be because we have a consistent, heavy forecheck game with team speed, with limited turnovers and dumb plays on our own end. And I hate to go back to Ralph, but listen, there's going to be structure in every game of hockey. I had the fortune of being in pro locker rooms and at that level, and they're structured at every level of hockey. But you saw and you heard us talk about a ton last year that it almost felt like the players looked handcuffed at points last year, right? And I think those shackles have been released. And I think Don Granato deserves a lot of the credit. Now, you know, it's funny to see Mark Pisick back in the blue and gold. He was my stallmate at rookie camp the year I went. Really great guy. Awesome to see him back. Tough injury, though, to who am I? Come on here, boys. Yoki, how are you? I think that stings. And for a reason, because what we saw in those first couple of games, or that first game with him and Mittelstadt, I would love to see them back in this lineup immediately, right? Because I loved what I saw from them. Steve, any thoughts on that, losing those two and the effect that might have on what we're going to see here coming up tonight?
I mean, it's definitely hard to lose some of the – for a team that is a little bit stretched thin, it is hard to lose some of those more top-end guys in this roster. You know, Yoki Haru being the good cop to Dahlin's bad cop, you know. Dahlin's going to go do something silky and dangly in the in the offensive play, and Yoki Haru, you know, Yoki's got the line held down. But, you know, without that partner, he's playing on the he's playing on his opposite side, and he's still doing pretty damn good. I mean, he's Dahlin. But that said, you know, I mean, obviously the finishing power of this team has always been coming into question, and we've been seeing Casey Mittelstadt since Don Granato took over just ripping them home. And not having that around is –
It's disappointing. It's
definitely hurting the top end of the team for sure. But thankfully, when they went out, they said it was going to be at least a couple weeks. I would imagine at some point, like maybe after that Tampa game next week or later on, we're hopefully going to get a nice update, you know, to let us know. Yeah, they'll be back at practice soon. They'll hopefully be playing by the weekend. Or this is actually kind of bad. Maybe we should be worried. Yeah. So I'm going to wait until I hear some sort of official update on the situation before I get too panicked. But thankfully, we got a roster full of really hungry kids who really want to like prove that they have a purpose on this team and like a place at the table. So, you know, when one goes down, another can fill in.
We're seeing that effort. How many times last year, Dwayne, did we come on and it just was fucking frustrating? Pardon my French. That the effort wasn't there, and it looked like we didn't have that give a fuck, you know. And I don't know if that was a factor of Ralph being, you know, players being fed up with that. But look at a guy like Okposo, him having some success here, right, early on. Look at a guy like Gergensen. I know he was injured all last year. You know, I think that we're seeing players play hungry more. And when you have a coach that you believe in. And I've been through it, you know, as a goalie. You can see it throughout the roster where guys are going down and blocking shots. And you see that with guys like Kajula and Hinostroza. I think they've done a terrific job. Love the Asplund-Olofsson connection. Want to see what your thoughts were there on that, Dwayne.
I was always – I mean – I was big on Asplund coming into camp because I felt he was one of those glue guys. You know what I mean? A guy that you could really throw out there in any situation. He's not going to hurt you. A player that, you know, we kind of sat there and put players like Larry on a pedestal. You know, he's over in, I think he's in Arizona now. Put him on a pedestal for the things that he did. I believe, is he in Arizona now, Steve?
Yes.
Yep.
Larson.
Yeah. And yeah. You know, but the thing is, you had so many guys like that could, you know, do what he did to maybe not the exact same extent, but to the same degree. Already in your system, and what guys are making, you know, like we said, $750,000 a year, and might have a bit better scoring ability. Your Ruustolainen, your Asplunds. Guys like that, and I've really loved what I've seen out of that 70s line. You know, they create a lot of jam. I've seen a lot more from Tage Thompson too. Tage Thompson, one of the things that stuck out to me most is You know, he's not overhandling the puck much anymore. You know, that was a thing that made me tear my hair out of my head last season. Just overhandling the puck in small spaces. He's using his size to his advantage.
His boots are getting going a little bit more too.
Yep. And one thing last night too is he had a couple golden opportunities, one of which he was sitting right on the doorstep. The puck literally comes right to him and just bounces right over his stick. It was just like he took a swing at it, but you can't control sometimes a bouncing puck. It's unpredictable, especially that close in into the paint. And you know, that right there could have been the difference last night. You know, but that's kind of how the story was written last night. Is the Sabres analytically, and I know we're not all big analytic gurus, but your expected goals for the Buffalo just dominated it. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I remember looking at it this morning. It's like, man, like they really took it to the Bruins. They outshot them. Like everything athletic, your Corsi and your expected goals for, you were leading those categories last night. But sometimes, and that's where, and again, that's where, you know, sometimes analytics can't really give you, I mean, it gives you kind of like a guideline for how this player is in these situations. But puck luck is a real thing. It really is. Luck
you
is a real thing.
You live and die by the controlled chaos that hockey is, Dwayne. Couldn't said it better myself. You live and die by that, right? A puck bounces correct. When it shouldn't. And that's the one thing that analytics can't account for. Is there a place for analytics in hockey? Absolutely. Is it an end-all, be-all? No way. No chance. But going back to one thing I wanted to mention, okay? I've seen more out of Skinner than I did last year, and I can understand why. You know, having that fresh start with Donnie. Loved Cousins' play. This guy's been driving the puck. He's been driving the play. He's got elite-level talent. And I think that, you know, I don't want to delve too deep into the Eichel situation right now. I'm sure you guys have in past episodes. But in that locker room right now, you got to think that, and again, to use the cliche, me and Steve were talking about it beforehand. You got to think a guy like that is stepping into a situation where, hey, you know, I got my feet wet last year.
It's a tough spot, too.
Yeah, this is a league I belong in. And now I'm you know, the first line center. Now, going back to, you know, Tage in the middle. Not sure that's where he's going to end up long term. And going back to when Mittelstadt comes back, that's when I'll truly be able to give an evaluation on where I see this forward group moving forward. But let's face it. You got a lot of guys that are on league minimum contracts that are hungry and prove it deals, which I love because it creates that accountability that Don Granato talks about all the time, and we're seeing that. Now, on the back end, I wanted to get your guys' thoughts. I know Miller jumped into play and contributed on the one goal last night. Personally, I don't think Allmark played that well at all. The one knee, I don't think Olofsson meant to shoot there. Maybe he whiffed on it. Maybe he didn't.
You made it easy for him.
He played that terrible. But and was it Cousins that had the wraparound attempt that went
off the back of his foot?
Yeah.
It was the back of his foot. Yeah, that was Cousins. Yeah. Like you said, Cousins had a great game last night. You know, he played with a lot of energy, a ton of jam. He was shot out of a cannon. That was by far the best we've seen him play going back even to last season. Because let's be real, his rookie year, as some of the things that he did that was impressive on the score sheet, he wasn't showing up a lot. And I expect him to be one of those guys that shows up a lot on the team that we do have this season. And last night, if you keep getting efforts like that, the goals are come, the assists are good, the points are going to come. And going back to your point on Skinner, that goal he scored was beautiful. You love to see the smile back again on Jeff Skinner's face. Whenever Jeff Skinner's having fun, probably means your hockey team is playing well. But I think one thing too, you mentioned before, we got Tage Thompson playing at center, probably not the spot he's going to be in all season, even though that's the kind of size you want in your center. You do need that number one playmaking center for a guy like Jeff Skinner to be consistently showing up on the score sheet. Right now, we just don't have that.
Well, let's go back to what the Devils were playing tonight. Without Jack Hughes, we're looking at a Zaka, Heisher, Bratt line, right? Like correct. A similar situation to what we're dealing with. And I think that you know, I don't want to compare us to the Devils, but we're in the same kind of perpetual bottom of the league lottery pick situation, missing the playoffs. You know, they're missing their guy in Jack Hughes. We're missing our guy in Jack Eichel, two completely unrelated situations. So I think this is going to be a very competitive game tonight, and it's going to be a fun one with Lindy on the other side, right? Like,
yeah, always.
You guys got to remember too, Lindy drafted Lindy and
Darcy.
Lindy and Darcy draft Mark Pisick, so there's some history there too, right? Like,
was that
100%, dude? Because that's when the camp I went to, Pisick was there. That was his draft year. He was our first rounder that year, and Lindy and Darcy were still there. That was their last year.
That's wild.
They did draft him. Isn't that wild?
That's wild.
So I mean, listen, the New Jersey Devils are going through this something similar that we're going through, albeit two completely different situations. And I don't mean to get into the Eichel stuff right now, unless you guys do. But looking into the game tonight, I think the keys for me are: anytime you have a guy making his first NHL start, you Donnie draws up his game plan with three key points. A, you win the first five and last five of minutes of every period, right? You make life extremely tough on this guy by getting traffic and by throwing pucks on net early and often from all places, and making him make the saves rather than looking for that pretty goal, which I think hurt us early last night.
That was always a symptom of last season, you know, the Sabres trying to make that perfect play rather than just making the play that they had the capacity to make. And there were so many opportunities that were missed because somebody just wanted to make that extra pass or wanted to hang on to it for a second too long to see if anything opened up. And then all of a sudden that opening that they had would close.
Right away, Steve, it's that Innistroza 3-on-2 right after the goal. I know, Do we score on that? I mean, who knows? But if you get that puck to the net tonight and a guy in his first NHL start on a struggling Devils team without their best player and their captain, I mean,
you got to cause a lot of havoc in front of the net in front of this kid, man. Like you said, his nerves are all over the place right now. You know what I mean? I don't know what it's like to play in the NHL or any high level hockey, but like, I could only imagine, dude, he's probably shit about six times today. Like he's got the nervous shits, 100%.
Wayne, did you slip X-lax in his pregame meal?
Like, honest to God,
just got back from Newark on.
Nico Dawes is shredding the Reddies, boys.
Have we all seen the movie Creed with Apollo Creed's son with Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah.
Remember the scene of that first fight? He's getting all taped up and stuff like that, and then like the guy comes like, oh, it's time, and he's like, yo, yeah, take my gloves off. And everyone's like, dude, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. It's like, no, dude, I got a shit. I got a shit right now. I got a shit.
I got a poop.
That guy's probably pooped at least six times today.
I know it's his first NHL start, but I do watch a lot of AHL games because I really like following those Amerks. And they did play Nico Dawes when he had a start for the Utica Comets last weekend. And that kid looked sharp. I don't know if that was his first AHL start, and I know the AHL and the NHL are two completely different beasts. But this kid, he was making bailout saves when he needed to make them, and he was where he needed to be when he needed to be there. So
Steve, he's a big guy that moves well. He's had success at every level he's been at, and with those big guys that tend to play deep in their net, you have to create layers of traffic. And you're right. Listen, they wouldn't be giving him a call-up start earlier in the season if he hadn't deserved it. And that Utica game you go back to, I'm sure that's a part of it. Looking at his numbers for right now, he had one game, won the game, two goals allowed, and a .926 save percentage. That's earned him. That's the only game he played this year. The game that you saw. So listen, that's enough to earn yourself, especially with what Blackwood's going with, and Wedgwood as the other guy. That's enough.
Blackwood and Wedgwood, a lot of wood.
Oh, yeah. Love him. You know, I love
him. We'll have to get some good wood on it, boys.
Good wood. Get the good wood on it.
Piece of wood. No, my thoughts on this. Listen, never got to play at that level. The only thing I could compare it to was my first game with Team USA in Prague with the drums. And I may or may not have had diarrhea, Dwayne, but I do remember just wanting to get settled in and get that first game, right? And I don't know if I speak for all goalies, but you know what I'm talking about. And that, you know, it's like any other 60-minute game that you've ever played, but you just want to get comfortable in tracking that puck, whether it's a shot off the rush, whether it's a low to high play. You just want to be seeing the puck. But it goes back to my game plan of I hope that Donnie's instilling in these guys that, hey, let's get to the net, create layers of traffic, and let's not pass up shots. Because we've seen for 3 years or 7 years or 9 years, whatever it's been, this team is not going to win with you know, tic-tac-toe beautiful plays all the time. This team's going to win with some ugly goals. And in order to do that, you need to get the puck off the forecheck, which we've done well. I think we have, and go low to high and get pucks in the net. And listen, there's a reason why the far pad net drive drill, it works at every level, is because there's no way to defend it as a goalie, right,
Dwayne? I think it's something that's undervalued too. You don't see it enough in hockey at all levels, I think. I used to pound that into my kids' heads from the bench all the time.
Every time I run a team practice, Dwayne, I still do the far pad net drive drill.
You should. At all levels, man. It used to drive me nuts. It's like you have guys on terrible angles trying to go top corner, and it's just like, buddy, that's a break low pass
going the other way.
That's such a low percentage chance, and your chances of even hitting the net from that angle are very low. Just honestly, soft shot to that far pad, and like honestly, just yell net, and have your guys drive, and the rebound's there 9 times out of 10. It really is.
So one thing I wanted to bring up is in Lindy's media scrum after the last game, he was quoted as saying his best players need to be his best players. It's something that I've said all the time as a head coach when I was a head coach, and he's not wrong. But you know, it's easy to say that when your top line is missing its best players. Listen, you're not going to replace Jack Hughes and what he brings to their lineup, okay? There's no way that happens. In the same way that we look at, you're not going to replace what Jack Eichel brought to this lineup, right? You have to find ways to adapt, and that's where I love Donnie's approach as a coach. The best coaches I ever played for were the ones that were able to adapt. And I was lucky to play for two guys that are now NHL head coaches, and DJ Smith, who coaches the Ottawa Senators, and Bobby Bouguereau, the boogeyman. Dwayne, that's got to be on our bucket list of interviews. We got to get him on. But they always preached those simple concepts. And you know what drill we did every Thursday, Dwayne, before we started our weekend?
Tell me. I want to hear it.
Far pad net drive, baby. And it's amazing because those guys are now head coaches in the show. You see a young Ottawa Senators team that's trending in the right direction. God damn it, I love Brady Tkachuk. He gets me 6 to midnight in a hurry. Did you guys see that clip from earlier at the end of the game? Spin Chicklets put it out where there was a dirty hit. No. Oh, it's great. I recommend every listener to go on Spin Chicklets' Twitter account. Somebody took a run. The Rangers were beating the Senators 3-2 late. Brady went right after the guy. Fucking loved that. Got right in his face. Face washed him. That's not going to be allowed. And I see a little bit of that in our lineup. Listen, one other thing I wanted to bring up. John Hayden. Huge fan of his foot speed. Not a huge fan of anything he brings to the table. What's your guys' take, Steve? I'll throw it to you. You know, who's the healthy scratch tonight?
I believe it's Cody Eakin who is out of the lineup, and that's why Murray got the call up. But I thought Murray would be the one getting subbed in place, but it is John Hayden instead. But the one stat when John Hayden was first signed that I saw that stood out beyond anything on his sheet were the penalty minutes, which leads me to believe that sometimes he can be a little bit a little bit combative.
You know, yeah, he's the heavy in this league for sure. And I think it's something that we've lacked for a long time. And listen, I get that the game's changing. We've all talked about that. But listen, we go back to remember the whole thing with the Rangers and that game against, I forget who it was, against Washington. And when Wilson did whatever he did to the Breadman Pasta, they picked up Revo for a reason, right? Like, there is room for fighting in this game. Now, with that being said, it's not like it was 10 years ago when there was roster spots for guys that could fight and not play the game. You got to be able to play the game. And a guy like John Hayden, I just would like to see him get in. If you're not going to fight, which you don't need to, like, you're there in case it happens, but get in and create some havoc, right? And get in and finish your hit on that defenseman on the forecheck, because you're not going to play a ton. Dwayne, what can you see out of that fourth line? I have the lineup right here. We have Kajula, Ruustalainen, and John Hayden. What do you want to see out of them tonight?
I guess again, against a struggling Devils team, you want to see them, you know, really match up. And honestly, I feel like this is our bottom six is where you can definitely take advantage of a team like the Devils, because, I mean, let's be real, all four of our lines, there isn't a ton of talent separation in between each line. So I see a guy like Ruustalainen on our fourth line, a guy who plays a lot of speed, has a great shot, a lot of skill there, ton of speed. I want to see them really take it to the Devils, no matter who they match up against. I think that's a line for me tonight that could be a team that could be a team that could possess the puck a lot, could draw a lot of penalties, and you know what? Create a lot of havoc for this new rookie goaltender.
Look, if it's me, I kind of want to see one of the two people on R2's wing be replaced by Murray at like last minute scratch, because one, Brett Murray and R2 Ruustalainen have chemistry from playing together in Rochester all last year. But you want to know where Brett Murray makes his money on the ice? Right in front of the goalie. That dude is huge. And if you want to cause havoc, there is no bigger havoc you could put on the ice than big Brett Murray. That dude knows exactly how to plant. He knows how to tip it in. And there is nobody getting him out of that crease. Not without drawing a penalty. And then you got a power play. Who doesn't love that? That's a way to finish. Just ask Olofsson.
Well, you know what? Going back to that, guys, we can't not talk about Will Butcher's return to New Jersey.
True.
Right after the Devils signed Dougie Hamilton on day one of it's usually what is it July 1? I know it's been messed up.
Yeah, it was the 28th this year. They signed him.
They traded Will Butcher and a fifth-round pick to the Sabres for future considerations. I think it's funny because you don't see that anymore, right? I was traded for future considerations once, and it made me feel like the biggest piece of shit in the world, right? hey, what did I get traded for? A fifth, a sixth, you know? Nah, future considerations. It's like, oh, my God, I suck.
Hey, can't even get it.
Coach is
going to ask that back.
Coach of that team is going to take the other guy out for a steak dinner. Is that a future consideration?
Draft pick. No, but I don't know. Will Butcher getting back to Newark. You know, hey, they basically said, listen, we don't want you. Fuck you. We picked up Dougie Hamilton. They're not comparables, but you're the odd man out. Smell you later. We'll trade a bag of pucks for you. You know what? I'm not all tummy sticks about these, you know, reunions and like, and I don't know, I wasn't at the game. Were either of you at the game when against Arizona when what's his name,
Larson
and Carter Hutton came back?
Yeah, I was there, but Hutton didn't get the start that night. It was some like no name guy.
Carter Hutton, it's tough, right? Like, what are you going to show him, giving up seven goals on eight shots? I mean, I don't know. That was funny. I'm sorry. But was there any recognition of them at all?
I think there was a little bit more booing when Arizona got their lone goal, because I believe Larson had the assist on it. So that might have been a little bit of an extra. Damn, that sucks. But other than that, Carter Hutton didn't touch the ice, so he didn't get a standing boovation.
I wanted to talk to you guys.
I don't think people would have booed him, though. I don't think people boo Carter Hutton. Why?
Well, I mean,
don't kick a guy when he's down.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's where you hope that people have some respect. Question about the goaltending. On back-to-back nights with a 40-year-old goalie, it's going to be tough for Craig to play. And I could be wrong there. Craig could say, hey, fuck you, Cole. I'm ready to go. But we are, it looks like we're going with Tokarski.
Yep, we're getting Tokarski in that.
And going back to your 60% comment, Dwayne, I would love to see that, right?
This is a game you definitely want to see him win.
Listen, remember we talked about last year, Montreal? I said this early on in the season when we had the interview with the Montreal Sportsnet guy. Remember what I'm talking about? I'm terrible with
names. Eric Engels.
Yes, and he did Spin Chicklets right after he did us. And I said one of the things that I thought made Montreal a better club, especially in that condensed season, was the pickup of Jake Allen. Jake Allen's been a stud ever since he got to Montreal, right?
Well, they're 0-5 right now.
Well, listen, there's a lot of stuff going on there. They didn't have a look. Hey, how's Tampa Bay doing, Dwayne?
That's true. Yep. Yeah.
Like we're in that weird. They're finally back to a regular start schedule, but the teams that played in the finals had even less time than any team ever before, right?
Correct.
Now, my point being is, I don't even know if fucking Jake, how many games Jake Allen's even played. The game that they who even played against us in that starting game? Never even heard of that guy. Might as well have been me or you, buddy.
Might as well have been.
I'm just saying, Tokarski's got to find a way to, you know, hold UPL at bay if he wants to stay in this league. You know, I personally want UPL to develop at this point, unsure of what's best for him. I'm sure in his mind, he wished he would have done a little bit better in his preseason affairs so that he would have gotten that nod. Because in a year where you're going to have
keep some hunger, though, keep some hungry.
Yeah, but that's my point, right? Like if it goes the other ways and he steps in, fuck, on a day that or on a week that Craig has a tough stretch, fuck, there you are. You're in the league and you have your chance. Now you're going to need an injury or, you know, a couple months of outstanding play on your end. You know what I mean? So tough to see that. Would have loved to have seen him earn that job out of camp. Instead, we don't. We have Nico Dawes versus Dustin Tokarski. Never been a huge fan of Tokarski, but being a little guy, he does do a good job of getting outside the crease, have active hands. Dwayne, yep. What are your thoughts on him? And then I'll throw it to you, Steve, for your saying.
Like I said, just, you know, keep the play in front of you. Keep your hands out in front of you. Don't give up those goals that slip through your body tonight. Especially, again, you're missing a guy like Jack Hughes. That's such a huge advantage for Buffalo. And not to mention, you know, dealing with Nico Dawes down at the other end, as, you know, make it his NHL debut. Just, you know, keep things simple, you know, when it comes to your puck tracking. You know, be constant in communication with your defenseman in front. Try and make things as easy as you can possible. And like I said, just, you know, keep it simple. Yeah, I mean, I can't, you know, against a team like this, especially with how well he played, I believe it was against Arizona. Arizona was his win, I believe.
Yeah, Steve. Yep. Yeah, that was his win.
You know,
win.
He played very well. He played very well. So,
you know, we let him win.
Yeah, if you play that same simplified game.
A chance, baby.
Yep, give your team a chance. Keep yourself outside your paint. Like you'd like to say, Cully, only white. And I think we'll be okay tonight. I could see us winning this game like 4-2.
Two things I wanted to throw at you guys, okay? Rasmus Asplund, he's earned the trust of Donnie because he's led the Sabres forwards in ice time. He had close to 4 seconds away from 19 minutes last night. The goals haven't come yet outside of an empty netter. But going back to the Devils, Ty Smith, a young guy, had a phenomenal rookie season last year with 2 goals and 24 assists. He draws back in. Now, granted, he draws back in on the last pair. I think Lindy's always been, his approach has been to ease guys back in the lineup, right? But hopefully he doesn't, you know, shove it up our hoop. But he's a talented player. Want to read one quote, okay? The Sabres have allowed goals, the first goal in three consecutive games, something that Granato obviously preaches against. And when asked about it, Dylan Cousins had this to say. It's a lot in the way Donnie coaches. We know mistakes are going to happen. We know it's not always going to go our way. We just try as hard as we can to put that stuff behind us. A bad shift, a bad turnover, put it behind you and move on. Learn from it and keep the positive things going. And I that sticks out to me for one reason. Listen, you cannot control the past. You can only control the future. I tell my goalies, just like I told myself, it's all about the next save. Doesn't matter if I just let him go from center ice or if I just made the best save of my career. It's about the next save. For them, Donnie preaching that next shift mentality, love to hear that. But I do think that this is a team that needs to come out and get in front of teams. Dwayne, what do you have on that? Like how big of a role does that play for them? I think it's going to be huge for us to jump out and get that first goal.
I mean, you always want to set the tone early on. And again, this is a team I think you can. Like I said, you don't have to be pretty to start this game. Get pucks on net, you know what I mean? And get bodies to the net. And again, make him feel uncomfortable and get that first goal. And I personally, like I said, I love it when teams play aggressively against young goaltenders, especially ones that are making their debut. If you got to take a penalty, you know, really make them feel uncomfortable, whatever. Like make some contact, right? Baby, make some contact. Don't hurt them. Don't knock them over. Make some contact. Tom
Wilson fucking, I could smell his fucking, his deodorant because he lived on top of me, man.
Yeah, exactly.
No wonder they fucking scored 20 goals on me. I love that. I love that from you, Dwayne. Wanted to ask you quickly, Dwayne, about Evander Kane and what's going on with him in the Leafs.
This guy, and I was listening to, the new Andrew Peters, Craig Revey podcast earlier after the whistle, and this guy really, honest to God, and I hate saying this, man, because I love the way he plays the game. You know what I mean? Who doesn't like watching Evander Kane, the hockey player? The human being sucks. Evander Kane, the human being, sucks. All these allegations from his ex-wife, you know, when it comes to this kid and this and that. Let me finish. It's like while you always want to believe the victim, you always take things with a grain of salt. With that being said, what is Evander Kane's track record when it comes to making decisions off the ice? It's pretty terrible. One time, again, this guy flew in.
Put $100,000 on red.
Yeah. You know, this guy one time spent thousands of dollars to have his Lamborghini flown into L.A. or, you know, whatever, just so he could drive it around for 2 days. He missed practice once with Buffalo because he went to a Raptors game the night before and couldn't get back in time. He helicoptered his way back. The stuff with the Jets, not refusing to obey the dress code with the Jets, that the issues he had with Dustin Bufflin there. And then, obviously, the allegations of sexual assault here in Buffalo. And now all these new – the guy, I mean, he is the common denominator in a really long list of allegations and bad decision-making. And at some point, you have to be held accountable for the things that you do. And now this stuff with the COVID vaccine card, and that's 21 game suspension. And now, yeah, that's –
how do you come up in your brain, just come out and say you don't want the vaccine – and
no, get the fake vaccine card.
You know that, what's that movie where it says, like, it's got the big guy and it's like, I am Steve, 5 years old. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, like, the bench warmers. Yes,
that's what I
great
think.
Great movie.
I honestly think I that. Vaccinated. Look, I think it's just because of all the, all of these other looming issues and allegations looming around Evander Kane, that when he tried to throw this clearly fake vaccine card into the mix, it's like, okay, now we have something that we can tangibly prove you fucked up and we're going to throw the book at you, bud. We can't get you definitively on any of this other sketchy stuff that's circling around you, but you definitely did this and we're going to let you feel it for the full extent that we can.
Not defending Evander Kane. I'm with you guys on all of that. Cause how do you think that is a good idea to try to fake a vaccination card in one of the most liberal states in the country, in the NHL, which is a fucking National Hockey League, is beyond me. But I will say, in the lawsuits with his ex-wife, A lot of that stuff's been disproven. Doesn't make him not a shitty person. He might as well be a shitty person. I don't know him personally outside of one or two run-ins with him where he was clearly under the influence of maybe multiple substances. Not going to get into that. But, Dwayne, wanted to tee you up on the Leafs here. I know we're coming up close to start time. Love to see the jersey throw early. Love to see it.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring the picture up from the tweet I sent earlier. It says, you know, things are not agreeing with me today, unfortunately. But, yeah, I can't believe you had a jersey on the ice this early into the season in Toronto. That's just, like, to me, it's like, why? Like, why? Like, for what reason? Like you guys still have a stacked team. That team is too good to not eventually figure it out. You know what I mean? Tavares, Matthews, Marner.
I disagree.
It's just that team is too good.
Can I tell you why I disagree?
Why?
I think they brought in Tavares for the wrong reasons. I think you gave out a lot of money to a lot of forwards, and they're good players. Do they deserve that money? Not doubting that. But is the chemistry there? Now, I might just disprove myself. I think the reason they lose that series against Montreal is because Tavares was injured, right?
I think Carey Price played out of his mind.
But Jack Campbell did too, bro. Jack Campbell had better numbers over the series.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. 100% he did. But
so
I mean,
like, but it, are they built the right way? Like, you're paying a lot of guys, maybe four guys. What is it? 50% of the cap. I just think that they listen. Dubas is job is on the line. I don't care what you say. If Toronto media. It's if they don't get out of the first round, if they don't make at least a push this year, Dubas is gone. And listen, you got
to
remember,
he has to be right.
Dubas was the GM in Sault Ste. Marie for 3 years when I played in the Western Conference. I played against Dubas. He built a very good club. He traded for Jack Campbell. And, well, Windsor, I don't know if Windsor realized that they could get nothing for me, like future considerations, and they got the biggest haul and at the OHL at the time, they got 16 picks or players for Jack Campbell. But
we got
you got to think that the clock is ticking for his job. No,
yeah, you have to believe it, man. To have a team this stacked for this long and to not get past the first round, eventually you have to send shockwaves through the organization and have some type of culture change and show. Especially the players of a guy like who's built a team like that Maple Leafs team that has that much firepower. If his job isn't safe, man, nobody's job is safe. And that really will put people at attention in that organization. It just blows my mind. I know they're cursed. I know this. I love, love, love like laughing at the expense of Toronto Maple Leafs. Anybody who knows me knows that. Anybody who listens to the show knows that. But it's just like, really? Like right here, a jersey is already on the ice. And we're really already there. Like I said in the tweet, we as in the Sabres have been the worst run franchise, not just in hockey, but all pro sports for over a decade. But I can't remember the last time I saw a Sabre jersey thrown on the ice. So that's a positive, I think.
Go ahead.
It's just like I've been this. I can't count on all of my fingers and all of your fingers and toes how many Sabres games I've been to in the last 10, like 5 years. But I will say this. I've never, ever, ever seen a jersey thrown on the ice. And trust
maybe
me,
we could throw the Mogilny jersey that got fucked up with the colors.
Oh, my God. That jersey, man. That jersey. I got to tweet a picture of that out later.
Please do. Please do. I intend to get it fixed. But, you know, looking at tonight's game, guys, you have Pavel Zacha, Nico Hischier, and Jesper Bratt, Igor Shkanovanovic. All these guys, along with Thomas Tatar, that they are looking to make an impact and get back on the right side of the Schneid, and I would love to see us shut them the fuck down. Now, do we have the lineup to do it? Damn straight we do. But we have to stick to our game plan, which is keep it simple, play fast through the neutral zone, protect from the net out, make the right decisions in the game, don't go out early, get pucks on net, especially when Nico does first start with traffic. Anything else you guys want to throw at that?
Like I said, just don't really change anything you've done in the last four games. Even against the Bruins, man. The Bruins are just a more talented team. You know, they have so much more elite talent on that squad. And I think that's really what the difference was.
Let me ask you, what if we had Yoki Haru in middle stat and Dahlin makes a simple play up the wall there instead of trying to go back to his partner who was clearly fucking covered and beaten. And knowing that we had his winger up the boards on his strong side, all he had to do was throw it up his forehand. Go back and watch it, folks, if you don't believe me. It's on the replay of the first goal. You'll see it. You'll see the fucking winger just above the half wall. All Dahlin had to do instead of overhandling is just put it up the boards. If you let in a first goal against teams of that caliber, it's going to be hard for us to come back. Now, if we play the way that we played against Montreal, Arizona, and forget the other game.
Vancouver.
If we find a way to keep the game close, score the first goal, or not get behind that early, I think we're going to have success. I really do. More success. And what does success mean? For me, it means not being a bottom tier team in the league, right? Because right now we're second in the Atlantic, boys. Are we four games in? Sure. Okay. But we're only behind Florida. And Florida's no joke, man. Florida's the real deal. I really like them outside of their Barossi contract. Dwayne, that's a talk for next episode. I don't want to get you fired up on that.
I'm picking them to win the whole thing.
I love the whole thing in the East, honestly. I love Florida right now, man. And I'm happy for Sam because I fucking love Sam. I'm so pissed we traded him. Fuck. But it is what it is. But, you know, I'm going to leave it with this. You know, you have the NHL getting back to normal, right?
Correct.
I think this is the first year where we're seeing things really get back into normal. I didn't expect the stands to be full. I know with the vaccine mandate, maybe that accounts for 1,000 or two. But, like, I don't remember ever in my life that arena being half empty. With that being said, the fans that have been there, a couple clicks for you. Because you have shown
that's me. What makes that was me.
I'm in there. Me and Steve, that's home all. Opener.
Game one, baby.
No, but a couple clicks for the fans that have shown up and fucking done their job and turned 7,000 into sounding like 17,000. Okay.
Hey, I tweeted out yesterday if the Buffalo could find a way to not just beat the Bruins but embarrass Ullmark with four or more goals. I was on the hook. I was gonna buy a Craig Anderson jersey. I'm angry. I wasn't able to, but I.
Thanks, Craig.
I really wanted out of that game last night. I wanted to hear the, oh Mark, you suck.
It's all your fault.
Man, you did one too many all Marks. Sorry, I'm with you, Steve. You had it right.
Oh,
fuck
God.
You, Dwayne. No, okay. Let me throw it to you guys. Predictions for tonight. I want to get who's getting the first goal for the Sabres and your score prediction.
Personally, I kind of think that this matchup, it's incredibly similar on both sides. Both teams are made up of a lot of young talent, really trying to prove their sauce. The Devils are also in a situation where a lot of those players haven't been able to play together the way that they have until this season began. My little brother's actually a huge Devil fan, so I hear a lot about like their development and their side of the situation. So I know a lot more about New Jersey than I ought to. But that said, like the matchup is incredibly similar. But if I had to pick somebody just based on last night, it's Dylan Cousins all the way. He is too hungry and too hot right now to not finally bury his first of the year. So my money's on Dylan Cousins for the first goal for Buffalo.
And score outlook?
Score out. It's definitely going to be a one goal game. Obviously, I hope it's going to be Buffalo. I would say it's going to be a 3-2, and I hope it's in Buffalo's favor.
Dwayne, who do you got, babe?
I'm going to go 4-2 Buffalo. You know, I think Tokarski's going to have a solid game. I think we're going to keep their chances at very limited. You know, I hope. But I see Dylan Cousins having a multi point night, two goal, maybe a goal and a couple of apples, and. You know, I'm looking at another guy too. I think Arttu Ruostolainen against a team like this,
love
a guy with he has jets, you know, and his boots are phenomenal. I think that he's going to beat, you know, whoever they match that line up against. I really think he's going to really drive puck possession and create a lot of havoc around this rookie goaltender Nico Daws. And I think he's going to get on the score sheet too. I'm looking at another multi-point night for Arttu Ristolainen.
All right. I got the Sabres winning 4-1 with an empty netter. I got Will Butcher scoring in his return to New Jersey. Feel it. And it's a risky pick. The puck drop is down 19-37 in the first. This has been episode 74.
Hey, real quick, right before we wrap up. Because you haven't been here since we've seen hockey on both ESPN and TNT. Can we just talk about how much night and day difference the presentation has been since both these platforms have taken over hockey? Unbelievable.
I've been a big fan of TNT. You know, I'm a Bizanet guy. Him and Gretz have been great. With that being said, tonight, we'd be remiss not to remind you that on ESPN Plus at 10 o'clock, the Kraken make their home debut. I watched a couple really cool videos.
Oh, I can't wait.
That's just a really cool rink, man. Other scores from around the league. Right now, you got the Ducks leading the Wild in the second, 3-2. Avalanche, Lightning starting right now. Panthers, Flyers starting right now. Hurricanes, Blue Jackets starting right now. Red Wings, Canadiens starting right now. Maple Leafs, Penguins starting right now. Predators, Jets starting right now. We got a lot of good hockey.
Buddy, big Saturday night for hockey. And one thing I wanted to touch on, too, because one thing we've talked about is when Ovechkin in that season opener, he had two goals that night, and they brought in Ovechkin. They had the great one in the bottom corner talking about the play and breaking it down, and there's Ovi just losing his fucking mind after he scores. Every single goal is like his first in the NHL, and if anyone is in disbelief that this guy isn't going to break the great one's record, you are out of your mind. He is off to another hot start. Scored again last night. This guy is – I think it was – was last night, or did they have a day game today? I don't know. I saw it earlier today, but like they had three unanswered goals.
No, it was a day game. They definitely he scored too. Oh, he had an apple as well.
Just the guy had, they gave him so much space coming down the wing on an odd man rush. If you give Ovechkin that much space coming down the wing with speed, he's scoring 9 times out of 10. And the one time he doesn't score, he's hitting the post. Like it's just like the guy's just so fucking good.
So you got, they lost in overtime against the Flames 4-3, but you have Ovechkin with his fifth of the year, and he also had an assist on Fajardo-Ribeiro. Let's take it to the game. Guys, been an unbelievable show. Glad to be back. Dwayne, thanks for working around my schedule. Big game goaltending. Any young goalies, hit me up.
Hey, and just remember, this is brought to you by Outlet Liquor, the place to buy a case. I'll go there before every Sabres and Bills game. Whenever I go to my boy Greg Day's house, Dazer. Sit in the man cave. We have a couple of adult soda pops. But right on the corner over there near Dick Road is Outlet Liquor. Make sure you get over there, get all of your adult beverages.
What's your outlet?
The place to buy a case. Don't haste. But this has been episode
74.
Go ahead. It's been too long.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
What are we yelling about?
Let's go, Sabres. Episode 74. I'm Cully. For Steve, for Dwayne, let's fucking go.
Let's go, boys.
Let's get it.
I'm out. Love you.
Hey, everybody. This is Dwayne from Two Goalies, One Mike here to remind you that after you get done listening to the episode, which I hope you loved it and I hope you enjoyed it, please be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you are using Apple Podcasts, do me a favor, please be sure to leave us a 5-star review and, of course, write us a review. It goes a long way in getting us noticed and getting us some kind of recognition in this world of podcasting. It goes such a long way. And obviously, if you're watching on YouTube at Two Goalies, One Mic, hammer that subscribe button, leave us some comments, show us some love with some likes. Again, it goes a long way, and we really appreciate your love and support. To those of you who have been with us since episode one, thanks for sticking with us for this long. For those of you who are jumping on the bandwagon right now, I promise you, you will not be disappointed. We have a season of guests that are going to blow you away. This year for hockey is going to be big with them going to ESPN, TNT. We've already seen how great it's been just you know, they just got done with the first two nights of the season. It's been phenomenal. We get Gretzky back, Gretzky and Barkley. It's phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. So we are going to have so much to talk about this year. Thanks for hopping on with us. Thanks for listening to this episode, and we will talk to you soon.
Come on, let's go to the Blue Hotel. I wanna live at the Blue Hotel.
The podcast that goes everywhere the imagination dares. It's for the open-minded, the pleasure seeker. It's Jeff Woods with the new podcast about relationships and sexuality, theme-based with special guests, the Blue Hotel Hotline, and every episode climaxes with an adult bedtime story. Get a room and listen in at the Blue Hotel. Begins Friday, September 23rd.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.